Hi, I'm Jim Stroud. Welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge. The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry, and it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge. Whenever I'm on the phone with my good friend Karen Madden, I always wish I had a tape recorder going because we get into so many interesting topics, especially when it comes to recruiting and especially when it comes to ethics in recruiting. Well, I decided to do just that and record a couple of phone conversations I had with Karen and post them in this segment that I'm calling He Said, She Said. So if you would, check it out. Let me know what you think and hear from you soon.
You're in the Recruiter's Lounge again with Jim Stroud and my good friend Karen Madden. How are you, Karen?
I'm fine. Another round of the She Said, He Said.
That's right. That is right. You know, I'm out here on the road traveling to and fro. Someone sends me an instant message, and they say, hey, Jim, let's meet over here for coffee or something, whatever. And as I read that, I'm thinking to myself, man, what a cool way to sort of contact someone about a job opportunity. Because imagine this. What if I'm out sourcing the web, I'm in an applicant tracking system or see a resume online or whatever, and I send an email to this person and they don't respond or they don't get it, or I don't even know if they even received the email or not. So I say, you know what, there's their phone number. Why don't I just text message them and say, hey, John Doe, Mary Sue, whoever, saw your resume online, saw your phone number here, just want to text message you and let you know that I have something that may be of interest to you. And I think that would be sort of a cool way to get around the clutter, to get around all of the emails that they may or may not have received. And it jumps immediately to their attention because, you know, even though people may not necessarily check their email every day, they always check their phone, and it's right there. So I thought that was a really cool, pretty cool spin on SMS messaging. But what I mentioned to you earlier, you got all Incredible Hulk on me. So explain to me why you think that's a bad idea.
I, as usual, I'm the doomsayer of the industry. Okay, here she goes again. But at least Joel Cheeseman, thank gosh, he also says, hey, no way. Okay, so I'm not the only one out there. Look. One of the things, and I'm going to quote something here.
Okay.
From geek.com, okay?
From deep.com?
Geek.com, G-E-E-K.com.
Oh, okay.
Wireless has grown tired of SMS spammers causing annoyance and unwelcome changes to its customers' monthly bills. And the companies are finally deciding to do something by filing lawsuits. Now, Verizon has a lawsuit against 50 unknown spammers, referring them to all one lawsuit as John Doe, okay? They're suing on the grounds also because there is a spam law regarding text messaging and
telephone. Spam is just for email.
No.
Everybody knows that.
They also have a spam law that comes out for text messaging as well in regards to cell phones because of the cost. Law came out, I believe, last year, okay? But Verizon won one of these lawsuits in Arizona in 2001 against Acadia National Mortgage.
So Acadia National Mortgage was spamming people with instant
No. Verizon sued Acadia, and they won. Okay, that was before any kind of spam laws were even about. But how they got around it was they used the grounds of Computer Fraud and Abuse Act.
Okay, so wait, back up, baby, step me through this. Now, Acadia was sending out instant messages for some kind of sales initiative or something?
Something like that. They were just, all I know is that Acadia, I'm not going to get into the details, but Acadia was actually spamming all of Verizon's clients. And all of their people were getting all this spam. Well, Verizon says, I don't like that. So Verizon went ahead and said, we're suing you. Well, this was an innovative lawsuit. I mean, this was back in 2001 before any kind of spam laws even came about. But they were able to get them by being inventive. They were able to use the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. And, yes, that's when the court said, this is spam. They're looking at it as spam, and they accepted it as spam. Now, there's a new twist in this. And a report that I just recently read, 2006 in April, AOL – Earthlink, Microsoft, and Yahoo are also filing another bunch of lawsuits against spammers. But what makes this round interesting is that they're filing the first ever lawsuits against spam that targets instant message clients, known as spam.
Spam.
So here we go again.
So that's the word of the day, spam, not spam.
That's spam, yeah, because it's instant messaging.
Now, it's okay? Specific because I'm not selling anyone Viagra ads, or I'm not trying to sell beachfront property or anything like that.
Don't know these people. If you don't have,
but I'm telling them about a great opportunity.
Unless you've got permission, you can't be sending nobody an email on their telephone, because guess what? That's costing them money.
Okay, well, you said something there. Okay, that's one thing I didn't think about, because if I am sending all these instant messages to people and and they're not on some kind of plan or whatever, it's costing them money. Okay, that makes some sense to me.
And you're not going to know who, out of all the hundreds of people who have a cell phone, how do you know who's got a, you know, is getting free or who's not? You know, I mean, it's costing them money. It's cluttering up. Oh, not to mention it's cluttering up the cell waves and everything else. I mean, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other things that Verizon said, you know, we don't like this. They're the first one that started this. A lot of people are saying, hey, thank you, Verizon. We appreciate this. I mean, think about how many times you've received spam on your phone. I can't stand it even when T-Mobile sends me emails.
They ain't paid the bill.
Well, no, they tell me, oh, you've got this many minutes, or you've got this on your bill, or thank you very much. I mean, actually, I've got I pay as you go. I'm too cheap. I do the pay as you go, okay? So I don't use it enough. But they'll say, oh, you've got about another 100 minutes left or whatever, you know what I mean? They keep sending me these things, and I'm like thinking, oh, somebody's calling me because they love me. No, I look down and go, oh, okay, now I have to go through all the motions to delete this. You know, I mean, it's irritating.
Well, let me ask you this, just to be on the other side here. In case of spam laws, if I send one person an email saying I saw your resume online and I want to talk to you about this opportunity, could that be considered spam?
Well,
because I don't know who they are.
It depends on how you got, based on the spam laws, depends on how you got the message. Did the person give you email? If they have it on a job board with their email address, it's public. Then they've given people permission to contact them, okay?
So if I see a resume of someone's resume posted on their homepage, if I see it on a career board, like Career Builder or something.
If they've got their email address out there, they're inviting people. But then again, if they tell you, don't contact me no more, then you better not contact them no more.
Uh-huh.
See, I mean, it's like that's where spam laws come in, because the spam laws are there to be, in fact, you know, and it depends also on states, too. I know the spam law is supposed to say, hey, state law does not override, but unfortunately, the way the state, like California, got very creative in the way they wrote their laws, so that their state law, and they rolled it in with Privacy Act.
Yeah.
But how they rolled it in with the Privacy Act made it become a federal law. Okay, so now it becomes a state federal law, so they can override the state law and the federal law.
This is interesting to me because all the new technology is coming out, and the different things that I want to try out and do, which, you know, I experiment quite a bit on different technology and so forth, but it's almost like a Tower Act. It's like I can only do so many things legally without getting in trouble of some kind of way.
I scratch my head in bemusement because I looked at an article in response to one of the articles. It seems that this is the hot topic right now, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Everybody's writing this about this on blogging. And one of the responses I read was quite interesting. It said, it's time for recruiters to remember we're salespeople, not HR. And I thought about that, and I go,
But what's wrong with that statement? We are HR.
Let me just ask a question here. This is in regards to, hey, let's do spamming the way we want to do spamming. Okay, let's go ahead and just do this instant messaging because we want to. Well, my question, there's two things I want to say to that. First off, what the heck did recruiters do before the cell phone, before the internet? Were they successful? Of course they were. Were they very successful? Of course they were. I'm highly successful, and I still don't like to use the internet much. I hate using email when I can pick up the phone and reach out and touch someone in person.
So
I make go ahead.
But why stay, I won't say Stone Age, or why not progress with technology, for example?
Because the progressing with technology, unfortunately, people don't realize there's laws that come with progression of technology. And we keep every time we keep going out there, and I love what Cheeseman says, if we keep doing stupid things without being aware, we go ahead and make new regulations. Okay?
So,
like what Cheeseman said so well, he was basically saying, look, you know, if everybody, I mean, we're looking at there's millions and millions and millions of recruiters, okay?
Yeah.
And we go, well, it's just me text messaging this guy. No. When you put up an ignorant idea about let's text message, now every recruiter, millions of recruiters, are going to be going ahead and going text messaging. How many times have you ever talked to a candidate on the phone and the candidate says, oh, gee, I don't understand what's going on. I got called for this position by four other recruiters. Now, can you imagine if four other recruiters were also going ahead and text messaging him, plus also every other recruiter was text messaging him? And what about, okay, the candidate has his resume on the job board. How many times have you received emails because they somebody saw your profile trying to recruit you in 1 week? Can you imagine if they all text message you? You could get 10 a day. Or even 10 a week.
Well, on the flip side of that, I can see how, from the candidate standpoint, that's good for a networking standpoint, but the negative of that, which is it costs a lot of money for the person who is receiving the text message.
But it's also called harassment. What about the guy who's not looking for a job anymore? He pulled his resume, or he thought he pulled his resume off one of the job boards. It's not really off. Or maybe he has his profile on LinkedIn. So now all of a sudden, because he had his profile on LinkedIn, made a mistake and put a telephone number there in profile in public. Now everybody, and I mean everybody, starts spamming him because they think they can't. It's harassment. He wasn't looking for a job. He's not out there. Look, he just got hired. He's not really looking for
work. All he has to do is say, not interested, give me information, I'll be in touch with you later, I'll refer a friend to you.
Uh-huh.
It puts the candidate in a position of power, actually. When you have all these recruiters calling you, yeah, who want these positions, then the savvy job seeker, I think, could leverage that into an increased network.
Sorry for interrupting you, but I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
You work from home sometimes, right?
Yeah.
You've got a public telephone number, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
How often do you get a call from a guy who wants to sell your printer? How about often do you get a guy who wants to go ahead and the fireman's ball wants to get money from you? The Cancer Society wants money from you. Somebody's trying to sell you something. The bank wants to get you. Hey, a bank calls you up and say, we've got a new bank in your area. Would you like to join us? And you're trying to get off the phone because you've got work to do, and you can't get off the phone. Because this guy's harassing you, and you got to be rude. You got to click. Now, you keep receiving calls like this all the time from recruiters because you're such a hot commodity. It's not like they're looking, especially when they're not looking for a job, they don't look at this as a great opportunity to network. It's called harassment.
This is a tomato-tomato kind of thing. But I will agree with you on one thing, that people text messaging a single particular person all the time, costing them money, is not the best way to start a relationship. So let me just formally say, don't do it because you could potentially tick off the person you're trying to recruit because you're costing them money.
Well, I'm going to say one other thing, too. The biggest thing is when you pick up the phone and talk to a candidate, the first thing you should be asking is this a good time? You know, I mean, you know,
that's one thing I liked about text messaging, you know, before our conversation, was that you send them a message that you know they'll receive. They can contact you whenever they have time.
Uh-huh. And they also have to take up all their time now to remove it, plus the cost of it, no matter what.
Definitely costs money, which is why I say don't do it, because it's going to cost
you. Yeah, and your nice, wonderful, long signature to go with the message of, this is a great job, please contact me. You know, I mean, gosh, you know, people really don't think about consequences. We keep writing. Now, one of the things I have a beef on is there's a lot of people out there who call themselves industry experts. And they go publish stuff like this on the Internet for the world to see. But they don't do any homework prior to going ahead and publishing this information. I really find that to be highly irresponsible.
Well, hold on. Let me defend this person. Now, what if they just saw something and they commented on it, which is, you know, pretty much the language of blogs. I read something somewhere or I heard something somewhere, and I thought it was interesting. So what do you guys think, people who are reading my blog?
I remember one of the blogs that actually you sent me regarding this topic.
Yeah.
And the gentleman contacted someone else and said, well, I'm contacting this industry expert to go ahead and say, what do you think about it? Well, my question was what made this guy an industry expert? Because he came back and said, what a great idea. Recruiters really should be doing this. And I'm thinking, hey, dude, did you even check to see what the laws are on that? I mean, we're talking, this is amazing. Verizon's got a $100 million lawsuit on somebody on this stuff. This is expensive.
Well, maybe it's because one of the things where it's better to ask for forgiveness than ask permission sometimes.
Oh, well, yeah, because, okay, let me see. I go ahead and I'll start getting into going, this is such a great idea, and I've got 5,000 contacts with all Verizon messages. Like, you know, and I'm going to go ahead and just start putting them, contacting and text them out to network.
Is that what the person said on their blog, that they're going to contact 5,000 people?
Oh, gosh, no, I don't see that, but I saw that from somebody who was on Jigsaw, okay?
No, Jigsaw, you're evil empire.
Yeah, my favorite evil empire, but I got to be
careful. What do you hate about them? What's so bad about what they're doing?
Oh, yeah, Jigsaw, I swear. I mean, okay, here, take this scenario.
Okay.
I'm actually on one of my forums, okay, and this one guy says, I love Jigsaw. I just downloaded 5,000 names, and I'm just going to go post all 5,000 names on Jigsaw.
Yeah.
5,000 names he's planning to put on Jigsaw so he can get his fair share of 10,000 names back. Okay? Now, you think he asked permission of any of those candidates if he could put their phone numbers, their work and their business card information on Jigsaw? No. You know he didn't. I don't want my name on the internet on Jigsaw so I could have people spamming me, emailing me, you know, clogging up my cell phone by calling me. I don't need to have tons of people calling me or even knowing any of my personal information.
Well, how about this? How about just having, and this is something that I advise job seekers when I speak at different career events or something like that, I say have your own dual identity. Have a Superman identity and a Clark Kent identity. When you're online and it's job-related, have a certain number, have a certain email address so that when you don't want to be bothered, you can just cut that information off.
Great, but this guy, he got business cards. It's one thing to be able to control your identity that way, but this guy has business cards, or he's getting information off of profiles on the internet. He's gotten maybe from LinkedIn, okay, wherever he decided to download them from. He downloaded 5,000 pieces of information, personal identifiable information, which by the law, by the way, it's against the law in California, Sunshine Act. Okay, they've got 3 privacy laws in California. 2 of them came into effect last year alone. Combine all three of them together, nasty. You can.
By the way, baby step. Sunshine Act. Is it illegal for me to get a bunch of names off the internet?
No, it's illegal to go ahead and submit or send information of a resident in California without their permission.
So I got to do it for people not in California, and I'll be all right.
Wow.
Karen,
who's
not a lawyer.
I mean, I'm not a lawyer. It depends, too, because you got to remember, Arizona has their own laws. Illinois has got their own laws. Everybody has their own laws. So I know California's law because I live here, and I sure as heck tell you right now, people start selling my information without my permission, I will not be a happy camper.
I think you want to keep us all in the fax machine and telephone only.
No, I think what I'm saying to people is, look, recruiting worked. It worked well. You know, there must be a reason they haven't reinvented the wheel, okay? And they haven't tried to change the dynamics of fire, okay? Certain things still work, you know, centuries later, you know? Well, you know, it's the same thing with recruiting. Picking up the phone or reaching out and networking and finding a good candidate face-to-face, mano-to-mano, confidential, respecting their privacy and understanding they want to be private. Hey, I don't want my information on the internet because I don't want my boss to know I'm looking. So, you know, yes, there are candidates who will put their resume on the internet whether or not their boss can see. They don't care. But that's just like 2% of the population. Considering, too, that only 3% of the population even gets their jobs filled by the internet, okay? But what about the rest of the world? My husband, you couldn't find him on the internet. You could type in his name and you will never find him on the internet. He's one of those private people. He doesn't want people to know about him, you know, and he does get recruited by a good recruiters. He's number one in his company. I'm not going to name the company he's at, but he's number one in sales in regards to the region and in regards nationally. But yet, the good recruiters know who he is.
Karen Madden, proud wife.
I mean, sure, he doesn't have his information on the internet either. I mean, seriously. I mean,
let me do this. Cause we run out of time. We're past time here. I want to get into another segment.
Okay.
Anyone who has a question about what we're ranting about here in the She Says, She Says section of the Recruiter's Lounge, feel free to drop an email, or better yet, go to the blog where this is posted and leave a comment at the bottom, and Karen or myself will respond to your questions and comments. And actually, before we go off, we had a couple of questions that came from our last He Said, She Said podcast here. Do you have any of those emails in front of you right now, Karen?
I'm going to them right now as we speak.
There were quite good ones. Yeah, the last conversation we had, we talked about, what did we talk about? it was privacy-related issues.
Basically, we were talking about data brokers doing business dealings.
See, I listen to my own podcast.
Ruth calling.
We were talking about data brokers and privacy issues, and someone had a question, actually a couple of them, that I forwarded to you that I thought were pretty interesting questions.
Well, one person was concerned about heavy government regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and basically, she was wondering if, you know, she said that I mentioned to you yesterday that when I have a contact, a potential candidate or source, I always write a personal note and let them know where I got their information, and I think this would cover my butt.
Right.
Well, it's one thing to tell them where you got the source or their information, but then it's what you're going to do with the information that you need to worry about. It's like, are you going to go ahead and make sure that you let them know, I'm sending your information to XYZ company at this time frame? But you also have to remember to also respect your client's confidentiality when you're recruiting, too.
Okay. And what was the other question?
And the other question, and Dan said he was, and he listened to, he thought it was interesting. Thank you.
Dan.
Also, he was wondering if the future was going to be, was going to have a lot of regulation in what he does. And then he said, no more sourcing, or is it going to be to the extreme? And then I guess the closest technical is Jigsaw, which I use. So, yes, does that matter? Is it evil? Yes, it's in my opinion. But for me, what I do has become just another tool and resource I can use in all the different sourcing efforts I have at my disposal.
Very good comment.
So one of the things that he was basically wondering was, is it basically going to be no more sourcing, or is this just taking it to the extreme? No, I don't think at all that there is going to be no more sourcing. I mean, a lot of laws have been in effect for a long time, but the Internet has kind of brought a lot of these laws out to the face, okay? It's because the Internet is making some of the things that we do come out to the extreme and makes it a lot more ugly, okay?
Mm.
So what they're saying, look, you know, no lying to gain information. That's one thing, okay? You want to gain information, call in, be honest, be ethical. You don't have to. They're just saying you can recruit well, recruit wise, be smart. Know that there's 26 regulations regarding HR alone that surround our industry, and be aware of them.
We ought to build like a little cheat sheet of all these ethical, technical, law things, and stick it on the blog for people to look at and comment on.
That's not a bad idea, but the problem is that we have all the time because this stuff changes so frequently.
This is true. I guess people just have to keep listening to the podcast.
And not only that, we got to remember you got to go by state. You want to really just think about it this way. I look at it as, especially in this day and age, I know ethics and law are not the same, so please don't come back and say ethics and law are not the same. But the way I look at it is, if it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't feel ethical, then I can guarantee you that in some state, there's probably a law against it.
And that's a wide range there, because people's feelings range is pretty wide.
I know. And I'm not talking, you know, personal ethics now. I'm talking business ethics. They're two different animals, okay? You know, in business ethics and personal ethics, I mean, a man could be a big-time thief when it comes to his personal life. But when he comes to business, he could be one of the most, quotation marks here, ethical individual out there, okay, because that's what his business or his company predicates for him. So again, what you got to look at is in regards to business. I mean, ethics is pretty common sense. And if you really want an idea of what business ethics is about, go to Fortune and Forbes. They have a really good articles in there about what business ethics are.
Send me the link, and I can stick it up on the blog to go along with the podcast for anyone who's interested.
I will try to see if I can find some links on that, because you can just find there's tons. I mean, they all have business ethics. In fact, one of the things that Forbes and Fortune 500 do, they talk about the Fortune 500 companies, and when they rank them, they rank them by business ethics as well. They'll say one of the top five in business ethics, or they won the platinum star or the gold stars for business ethics, okay? And so they talk about in there alone, when you click on what business ethics is, they show what business ethics are, okay?
Okay, so let me leave it right there because we're running low on time. If anyone else have any other questions, feel free please to drop an email to me at jimstroud@jimstroud.com or leave a question on the comment section of this blog post, and we'll be happy to entertain those with some modicum of wisdom, I hope. Karen, any shout-outs or last words?
No. Just try to behave yourself when recruiting, because we don't want regulation. And the more that we keep going ahead and doing stupid stuff, we keep going ding, 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 ding on our industry. We call the radar. The radar ding. Here's another ding against us. So we don't want regulation, then don't do stupid stuff and don't write about it either.
And there you have it. Until next time, I'm Jim Stroud. She's Karen Madden. You can say bye. All right, that's it. Bye.
Well, that's it for this show. You've been a wonderful audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or just plain hate what you just heard, let me know. Your feedback matters. You can reach me through my website at jimstroud.com/podcast. That's jimstroud.com/podcast. So until next time, I'm Jim Stroud, and you're not.